This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 124, recorded on June 27th, 2013. Here on Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a very warm, muggy, Mike Martis and I were talking about that before the show, just a nasty Bellevue, Nebraska. And of course, we post the show each week with world-class show notes out at TheAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show, send me an email. podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Find me on Twitter, just at Jay Collison, or follow the show schedule on Twitter at TheAverageGuy.tv. You can also join us for live chat during the show. Just head over to The Average Guy. If you're watching us on YouTube, and there are a couple of you who are watching the YouTube, if you're watching that off my site, great, you don't need to go anywhere. But if you're on YouTube itself, head over to TheAverageGuy.tv live. We have the YouTube embed there, and the chat is right above it. So you can head over there and either watch the live stream or the YouTube. I got that all working tonight and actually remembered to do what I was supposed to do. You can join us in a plethora of ways. We'd love to have you out there in chat as well. All right, we've got a couple guys with us and a couple guys that we've kind of put together at the last minute. I didn't do a great job of show prep this week, but I appreciate both you guys jumping in. First, to my right, Michael Martis. Can I call you Mike? Is that okay?
Sure. You can call me Mike.
All right. I know on BYOB you do Michael and Mike, so you can tell each other apart, but it's just easier to call you Mike. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well.
Good. Good to have you. And then Thanks. All the way to his right, and Paul's joined us now 4 out of 7 weeks. I did count them. But, Paul, you've had some great material. I appreciate you coming out. Paul Brerin, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I've got some summer travels going around coming up, so if you're tired of me, I'll get a little quiet all the way through July.
Nah, it's all good. It's a good
thing. But the last few weeks have been fun, yeah.
Good thing you're taking a break. Everybody needs to do that and get away. Speaking of taking a break and getting away, it's been a busy week for us in the tech community. And if you haven't, if you haven't jumped in on the frenzy of all the previews that have come out, the most important ones, at least for us and maybe for me, has been, of course, Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials preview. That's a mouthful if you can't get that all in at once. And then, of course, what we're going to talk about tonight is Windows 8.1 preview that came out on Wednesday afternoon sometime based on the build. And really, guys, what I really just want to do, I've got the VM set up with Windows 8 where I can flip over to it. If you have that, you can do that as well. I've got a document to go through of some of the new things. I just want to highlight some of those on the front end. We'll have some time on the back end to talk about anything that you want to talk about in Windows 8.1 that came out. There were some significant changes to it. There were some really cosmetic, just blah changes. Maybe we'll get those out of the way. Now, I do need to set some ground rules. One is we're not going to bitch about Windows 8. Okay, so those days are over. They're done. We're moving on to Windows 8. You can complain about Windows 8.1 if you want, but we're not going to rehash the sins of the past when we do that. I'll remind myself not to do that in the process. Really want to take a look at 8 going forward and what we like and what we don't like and what was helpful and what wasn't. And so let's take a second to get right on it. All right, so I want to start off with some of the cosmetic changes that happened. Let me spend a second here. And guys, the way it's going to work, I'm just going to talk until you interrupt me. So let me throw up, let's see, make sure that's working here. Okay, yeah, you guys can see that. See if I can blow that out.
So let me throw up.
Yeah.
And then you stopped yourself.
what
are you throwing on your screen?
Yeah, let me throw up the virtual screen here.
Phew. All right.
Yeah, there we go. And let me see if I can blow out this resolution a little bit so it's just a little bit bigger in that 1 second. It probably won't let me do that in the middle of a VM, will it? Will it? There we go. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can share multiple monitors. Nope. Only one at a time.
Let me see if that that gets a little bit better. Okay, so that's a little bit bigger for our folks. Keep the changes. So there we have, and again, I should have gotten that resolution right, but there we have Windows 8.1 in full preview. And a couple of just the big change, of course, came with this idea of the start button coming back. And I kind of mentioned last night on Home Server Show, wasn't really super, when we talk about the start button and we head over to the desktop here, that's, this is all we're going to get for the start button. I was really anticipating, you're not seeing that, hold on 1 second. I was really anticipating more down here. I was thinking of that round one that came with Windows 7. You know, not this. I mean, that's not really that much different than it was before, right? I mean, before you came down here and a screen popped up, a little square popped up.
No, that's the new Windows logo.
Yeah, it's white, right? Okay. I mean, I know it matches. See, it matches the one that's on 2012 down here. But
right.
I guess I expected more. It doesn't matter. But I just was, my first impression of this was like, oh, I thought we were going to get like the colored one back. But the
they gave up the colored one.
Yeah.
Even on the packaging, on the retail packaging.
Okay. Really? It's just all white?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's all white.
Okay. Well, one of the new options that came here from the desktop, of course, is the shutdown right here on the very bottom. That wasn't there before. If you right-click on that start button, you can now get right over to the shutdown. I won't do that, but I have restart and shutdown right over here. So some new functionality right off. I think the number one complaint that I got from folks was that they couldn't find it took too many clicks to shut this thing down. And there's Andrew Morris joining us. Andrew, how are you? I'll give you a second to get everything fired up and in there, so you can just give us a peek in when you do that. So,
I didn't think that, but you know, I think this is complicit evidence that Microsoft acknowledges that a computer must be turned off.
Yeah, yeah.
Novel. At least when the wife puts the foot down, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I it was never a big deal for me. I mean, I hardly ever turn off my computer anyways, and I understood that, you know, this is supposed to be a, you know, low-powered kind of future-looking OS, and, you know, having the low-power states that are now come with Haswell, you know, you don't really want to shut it down. The only time I ever shut down my computers is when Windows Update would force me to, and now that I'm on 8, that's pretty much the same schedule I have now.
Yeah. Well, a couple clicks to shut down, another option, you know, before.
That is convenient to have it there, though.
It is. I think it is, for sure. The other option before was to come over to the corner, you know, go to settings, go. It does take a few more clicks, power and shut down to get that done. So a few more options there. So that is new. Boot to desktop, of course, is something that we've been, and this I have not enabled yet. So have either of you guys worked with that yet, enabled that? Boot to desktop.
No.
Okay. I actually poked around briefly and forgot to go back and look for where that option is. Jim, can you remind us?
Yeah, well, just the instructions I see here is the taskbar properties option is another old friend to us with the subtitle New Look and a crucial one for desktop diehards. It lets you boot directly to the desktop on startup. So let me see if I can find that real quick here because
I'm going to hit the new the Windows plus Q, and it's got that search everywhere function, which is nice. And what do you think we type for root? How about just the word desktop? All right, boot to desktop, first hit. Let's see what we got. Oh, that's just bringing me all kinds of web articles. That's right. That's your new unified look.
Yeah. Coming. Well, let's talk about that real quick, Paul. While you got that, let me make you full screen. While we got that up there, and so the new unified search, right? So this is powered by Bing, and gives you this exactly what you're seeing here is this new look upon search.
And my tip, I should have noticed that these are all the same. They're all web results. So let's just type the word desktop and see if we get more. And there we go. Those are how the local things look. So still not quite seeing what we're looking for, though, is for the option.
Go to the desktop and right-click on the taskbar and then select properties.
So I just cheated. I hit Windows D to get back to my desktop.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
that's
right-click
a nice,
properties.
That's a nice-looking site right there. Yeah, right. Click on properties, and then go to the toolbars. No, open the brand spanking new navigation tab. So there you go.
I did look in this tab, and I forgot to read everything in it. I read the first few, and there we go. Go to desktop instead of start when I sign in. Awesome.
There you go. Yep, and that's the fourth option if you're listening to the audio on this only. It's a fourth option down.
And show my desktop background on start, and. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and reboot. By the way, when you're on the desktop, let's see if the good old Alt F4 works. So I've clicked on the desktop. There's nothing running. Hit Alt F4, and you get the old school Windows XP looking restart. And let's see how it looks. What I should see instead of that yellow background and the login screen, I should get the ocean view thing. Let's see how it looks. Here's the beta fish. Windows Server 2012 has that same beta fish you may have noticed. Oh, still getting yellow background. I thought maybe this would be my customized background. Oh, I know what it means. If I hit the start button, we're still going to see this ocean view is what that means. There we go. Look how seamless that is, right?
That's nice.
Yeah, start button disappeared, or excuse me, task bar disappears when I hit the start button, and we now have the colorful icons just laid right over them.
And that I like actually a lot. That was one of the big complaints I had when Windows 8 first came out, as you know, I'm using such a large set of screens. Yep. That when I'd hit the start button, it would totally wipe every, you know, all my windows, everything would go away, and just, you know, you'd just be blasted with all these icons. Now it's a little more subtle, and it actually helps a lot on a large screen.
It sure is less jarring, isn't it? Right?
Yes.
As I hit that button. Yep.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's just a kind of a seamless transition between the two.
Now, of course, you lose your clock and you lose your taskbar. So if you like having the time always showing, that disappears. That's something to just point out. I'm noticing.
Paul, while you're on there, let's highlight the change that took place in the store. So go ahead and click the store, you know, the Metro store down there bottom. Yep. And so a new look and feel going on in the store.
Yes. Let me try my mouse wheel here. Mouse wheel's working. This is a virtual machine, by the way, but running full screen and then sharing it out on the
Google Play Store. I hate to say it. That looks very Google Play Store, doesn't it?
Yeah,
well, especially in the tablet view.
But the question is, better or worse than what we had before in the store? I think
it's definitely better.
We can contrast. I've got an 8 image up here. Let me. I do need to finish.
Yeah, I've got my 8 netbook next to me, and it's not running the preview version, and it's definitely a much nicer look now.
I have a question for you guys. So, like Mike Fauché, we both made up garbage for our email address because we wanted to do a local account only. When you install Windows 8.1, that's something you definitely notice. There's no obvious way to create a local account. You have to just kind of make something up, a fake email ID. Then you hit next, and it says, yeah, that doesn't work. Would you like to create a local account? And you click on it, and then you're good. Well, that has an impact now because we're here in the store, and I'm trying to just do the trial of Fruit Ninja for you here. Mm-hmm. That means I need to sign in with my Microsoft account.
Correct.
What will this do to my Microsoft account? Is it just going to add this beta thing that I can ignore, or is it going to be starting to, you know?
It'll link it to your account, and it'll ask you to trust the computer.
And that's it. And it won't monkey with any other computers I may have trusted that are 8.0 based, correct?
Well, how it affects your user settings, I'm not entirely sure.
That's the thing, yeah. So I'm a little bit reluctant. Mm. How'd you install yours, Jim Collison? Did you do a Microsoft account?
I did. Oh, cool. Although the ones I connected to the home server, I did a domain account.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So. We should talk about that at some point too.
Yeah, although I'm not ready to talk about it.
No, okay. But it works with it. But anyhow, the domain skip does work, and you can back up to Windows Server R2 Essentials. Sorry, yep. Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials. That's a mouthful.
No, and I was able to do that successfully, so no issues there. So that.
So your domain joined one worked, and then mine with the registry key, the same registry key, domain skip worked. And Michael, you might notice your command prompt. I'm sure that's one of the first things you clicked on. How's my command prompt looking? And now it's PowerShell, right?
Yes.
Hit your Windows X key and look at that.
That was only a matter of time there, right?
Exactly. But you know, the registry key pasted in there works just fine, or ipconfig works fine. Yeah. The old school tools, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see that come through the 2012 server line as well. I think you know, the old school command lines, for all intents and purposes, did.
Just for grins, I typed LSL, LS-L. But Dir works.
Paul, go back to the store for me for a sec. So you don't have a connected. It's not connected to your live ID, right? So that's why it's not loading for you.
Correct. If I try to do a trial, it's going to want me to type something in.
One of the things we talked a little bit about this last night is that it does not Media Center is not included. If you do a bare metal like I did, I did not do an upgrade. So if you do the bare metal, no Windows Media Center. It's not like it came back or anything. That was a question that had was been there. If you had Media Center, though, on your Windows 8 box, it will carry it forward. It will be there. So it's not like that's going to disappear. Some questions about going backwards. Once you install this, I wouldn't want to install this without having a really good backup for Windows 8 to get back to it. And you're not going to be able to migrate this forward without some issues. Dave kind of explained those last night, but In my opinion is, and you guys can differ with me if you want, my opinion is I wouldn't put this on a box that you really ever want to recover. I just, it gets messy with both the upgrade and then moving on to the, you know, the full release when it comes out. That's my opinion. You guys, I'll throw that out to you guys. Any different there? I mean, I'd say put it on a box that you know you're going to re, you know, you're going to reimage with something, you know, at another time.
Yeah, I think you need to have a disposable system.
Totally agree.
Oops. Andrew, why? Why do you think that too?
Well, I don't necessarily trust preview code with any production data. You know, the air quotes for production.
Yeah, even though it's supposed to be fully baked at this for the. I mean, is it fully baked at this point?
Well, it's still called for a preview, isn't it?
I know, but it is. You really think they're going to make that many changes to it between now and when they release it in October?
Preview is typically their RTM, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's subtle differences, I'd suspect, but yeah. I tend to wait a little while for my production kit. That's just me.
Do any of you remember the Windows Vista beta days where you could actually upgrade it to the real code? Those days are gone, I think, in rearview mirror. Yeah, but that was kind of nifty, right? You could actually keep your drive. I know that sounds ridiculous and unstable, but actually it wasn't that big a deal. On some test machines, it worked just fine.
I'm sharing my
desktop. No, I was just going to say I got the store working. When you get back to it, we can...
Yeah, no, we're, go. Go ahead, go.
Okay. So, yeah, I typed in a password when I was not sharing my screen. It doesn't show the password, of course, but it does show my email ID. Now I'm past that. The next question it asked on your first time trying to use the store, it's asking about SkyDrive. So how's the video look? I'm sharing out a probably too high a resolution screen for you to read. Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad here.
Okay. People on the live stream, though, yeah, it's probably crazy blurry. All right, so I'm going to click on the Don't Use SkyDrive just for grins. I'm using an Outlook account that I don't normally use, so... My question for Michael Martis or you guys, all of you, was earlier, am I messing up my primary Microsoft Live ID account with adding a, you know, an 8.1 beta when I already have 8.0 machines in that profile? Probably not. But I didn't really want to test my luck, so I went and used a separate one. And there's my email address for the world to see. There you go.
Sorry.
It's all right. Send your spam there. Go for it. I don't use that account.
Although you could equally argue, Paul, that an email address is only good if you want to receive email.
And even then, it's not very good.
So now I'm browsing the store, and it did the. There was a gray button for Fruit Ninja. Now let me. I went back out of it, and let me go back into Fruit Ninja and see if this time it lets me do the trial. There you go. It became a green button.
Oh,
so
good.
I had to go out and come back in, and now we should see some notifier popping up.
I do like this look. I like this look in the store for these apps. I mean, I do like it better than what was there before with the rating. It's just laid out a lot nicer.
Makes it easier to discover. Before, you just had to click on a lot of random crap and just like, well, what's this? You know, and then go and read the description and realize that it's completely a 180 from what you actually want.
Yeah, the upper right corner, Fruit Ninja just finished, and now Endless Skater's installing. Go ahead. Sorry.
And the background's just it's a bit more aesthetically pleasing too.
Yeah.
The whole look and feel and the way the reviews flow out to the sides as well. It just looks nicer.
Yeah, it's a little cleaner.
I think they're getting it fixed. Nice.
Yeah, it's a bit of S&G they didn't have before.
Right. Yeah, it just was one of those things that was a low priority for what they were doing. They just get a store out, get some apps going, and it looks like they actually spent a little time on the apps there. Speaking of spending a little time, Paul, go back to your desktop for me real quick. And so go back to the Metro screen for me real quick.
And okay, sure.
When you get back there, the ability now to add, and this is, seems kind of small, but I like this one, the ability to add labels above those, above the tiles is there now. So you can click on that and add groups to them if you'd like. And again, that seems, you know, one of those things you think, but I really like this. This is, for me, I like to organize things on my desktop, so that is a new feature that came that I actually like, and that can't have been that hard, you know, to do. It's just good that good they got it on there.
Mm.
You were any other desktop enhancements that you guys know of that, or I should say, maybe Metro enhancements that they made that we would see right away on the UI?
I'm just pointing out Task Manager can still go always on top, even on Metro UI apps. Hmm. Still comes in handy to kill things that misbehave, right? Sorry, Michael, you were saying?
Well, Jimmy, you're talking specifically for desktop?
Yeah, just either desktop or let's just say this Metro desktop or what's wrong.
Yeah.
But Metro or the desktop.
You mean the desktop app?
Yeah.
He's messing with you. He's messing
the new Windows graphical interface.
That is the right way to say it, technically, though, right? The desktop app?
That's what it is.
You're making us pay attention, Michael. I'm dragging icons around. I gotta listen to what you're saying. He's freaking us. Yeah. All right.
I do like the way it gives you the translucent view of your desktop in the background. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it just doesn't look quite as, I think last year when we were talking about Windows 8, you know, I specifically remember Mike Howard just railing on it. Looked like, you know, a third grader made these icons, and, you know, they were weird colors, and it's just looking a little more refined, you know.
It doesn't sound like Mike.
Yeah, no, not at all. So it's...
For a guy who loves the Apple products so much, you know, I thought he'd adopt this really quickly.
Well, Paul, we did get some different size. We got some different size tiles now, which mimic the Windows 7. I'm sorry, the Windows Phone 8 look. And so we can see on your screen there. There's a section of four, which are the mini tiles, and we have wide, medium, and small. Now that you can move those two, the big ones are really big now. You can really blow, like that weather app up top there is a full, you know, that's a full four squares up there. And really nice for that kind of, you know, for that right. kind of setting. But then you get into the smaller ones, and Paul's going to change his resolution here a little
bit. Yeah, just want to see if we can make it easier for folks to see us. So this will make fonts giant, but I don't know if the Google sharing handle that. No, it just gave you a giant box around it. Let me fix that. Let me reshare it.
Mike, were you going to say something?
I might have, but I totally forgot.
Yeah, it's not going to help.
It's probably something brilliant, as usual.
Well, probably. One of the things I saw a lot of as I was doing both server and Windows 8.1 is just how... I mean, it was kind of this way with 2012 and Windows 8, but in this preview, they seem to get even closer. I mean, the desktops seem very, very similar. Now, I didn't try on server 2012 if you can do all those. Did it pick up all those enhancements as well about being able to group tiles together and change tile sizes, or are those still the same functionality it was before? Do you guys know? Let me pull up my server instance here.
That is a really good question.
Logging in right now to give you an answer. I've got one running. Yep, have a look. I did not really play with the tiles in there. I kind of ignored them.
Yeah, me too. I just was kind of wondering. But they look so much alike now. Okay, there it's the button I'm looking for.
It's really they're really homologating the product line, aren't they, at the moment? You know, everything's just coming. You know, at some point in time, you can really see they're going to merge them together, and you know, it's going to be install a feature on top of the base platform to get a desktop or a server platform, I think.
It sure seems like it. It's almost like you'd have a desktop or you'd have a role for that, right? Okay, yeah. Do I want a server role or do I want a...
Workstation role, yeah.
What would be... Yeah, workstation, yeah. Paul, I've got it up. I've got the... here, let me share my screen real quick.
Cool.
And you know what? That's sort of... to harken back to what the other vendors are doing, it's almost the Linux model. You know, install the feature set that you want the device to look like once you're finished. Because I know you can even install it without a graphical interface now.
Yeah. Well, it's server.
Not that it's really Windows without a GUI.
Right, but you can. Paul,
it's actually really, really useful now. We've been doing some Server 2012 rollout at work and installing, you know, playing around on the test network with installing core with just one server set up with a GUI, and then everything's just added into the server interface. You know, you can add multiple servers, and then from there you can just remote in and control them all. It's great.
Do you use remote desktop to remote in, or is there a management console that does that?
There's both. Well, we're using SCCM, so.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. It's probably beyond the scope of what we're trying to cover, but I've got, this is Server 2012 Essentials. We talked a lot about this last night, but not the same. I just have small or medium size tiles available to me there. Let me make sure. Oh, clicking on the wrong thing.
That is nice, though.
Yeah, you can still change it around on there. And then this, but this does have the ability to do what are they calling this? The
group naming or something.
Group naming, yeah.
Well, you can do that on 8.0 and in the original server 2012 as well.
You could?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You guys didn't know that? Oh, yeah.
No, I thought that was a new feature.
You couldn't do it exactly that same way where you just go up there and just kind of click.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, if you brought up that view, I don't know if anybody has a vanilla 8 installation.
Yeah, I got one sitting next to me.
But basically, if it's actually easier on a touchscreen. If you take the touchscreen, you know, hit start and then just push the touchscreen together, it'll zoom way out, and then you can go in and name each grouping.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay, here's 8. So say that again. Hold on. Let me share this so everybody else can see it. And if you're listening to us on audio only, you should probably head over to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/theaverageguy, and watch the video of this because it's a little bit more interesting that way. Okay, so do what now? This is Windows 8.
I don't know how to
do it. I can't do this on touch.
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't remember how to do what the key was. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And then click up by mail, where the mail icon is.
Up here? Mail. Oh, this one, right?
Yeah, okay. Right. Right click.
Oh, look at that. Group.
There you go. Yeah, they didn't make it easy to find, but yeah, you can name it, and then there you go. Then that whole group is named.
Wow. Did not know that. Okay. And let's put that out. It's a good thing I'm not a Windows 8 MVP.
I just made an observation on R2. There's no 3D graphics card setting if you look at the virtual machine settings under ESXi. And I think the same checkbox is probably missing on VMware Workstation. But anyhow, if you beef up the amount of video memory, now you can get access to all the resolutions. So anyone watching the live stream, if you're looking at me before, you're struggling. I was at 1280 by 1024 maximum. So I shut down the VM, changed the video memory allocated to that virtual machine, booted it again, and now I can crank it up to a more realistic, like 1920 by 1080.
I changed that. Oh, yeah.
And that, now we hit... Oh, did that actually live do it to the shared window?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, cool. It resized the graph. Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Google Hangouts handles that nicely. That's good. Yeah. Conferences don't usually like resolution changes, right? So there's my desktop. Let's see how Metro looks. Wow, those look tiny.
Yeah.
And if we right-click them and look for resize, like you said, only medium and small.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, and then customize, all right. And there's the super tiny view that
right. we're talking about.
Okay.
And right, I imagine, so that still works. That yeah, one still works as well, right?
Yeah.
You go in there. I had no idea that was there. So if you're using a touchscreen, you pinch it down.
Yeah, touch like the, like you want to zoom out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little, Paul. Can you go back to your
one more thing with that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because it works both in 8 and I'm assuming 8.1 is if you go to that same screen where everything's really small, you can pick up and move the entire group around as well. So you know, if you like get one group all great and you're like, oh, perfect, but I want it over here. You don't have to move each individual tile. You just pick up the group and move the whole group.
Okay. Yeah. Can you show that on Jim? Can you highlight my screen?
Yeah. Oh. You're already full screen there. Go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just click that and then pick it up and move it around.
But that only works when it's in the small.
Yeah. When you zoom out like that, it's handling the groups as one, you know, each individual thing. Whereas where you're, if you're here, you can't really. I think you might be able to click the name, but you might be able to.
Yeah, name does nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Right click the name. Yeah, doesn't do much. And now. You still can't. You can't drag the username.
Okay. Yeah. So
you can drag.
You can drag the individual. You can drag. Yeah. This is to set up the individual groups, and then once you zoom out, then you can handle each individual group separately.
Yeah. And holding down shift doesn't work. I can't multi-select icons. So yeah, you really got to do that zoom out mode. That's key to learn that. Thank you, Michael. All right.
If you do want to move multiple icons, you can right-click them, and then you can select them. So if you zoom back in, yeah, just right-click and then right-click, right-click, and then you can pick them up and move them around.
Actually, left-click or right-click works.
Oh, really? Okay.
Interesting.
Oh.
I think you have to right-click the first one, but yeah.
I just totally changed my desktop.
Yeah, it's pretty trash now.
It is. That's okay.
No, that's all right.
Refresh.
It's a virtual machine. We can snapshot it, right, Jim? I don't know if you played with that on Hyper-V yet.
Or
workstation. You can roll back in time 20 minutes instantly while it's booted. It's pretty cool.
That's a godsend in a virtual environment, yeah.
Exactly. those are the magic tricks you'll love as you explore virtualization more, Jim, down the road. It's great.
Especially when people delete VMs and you didn't realize they'd done it. real world.
Things, hashtag things that happen in the real world.
Yeah.
So you're saying, so in that situation, I can just automatically roll back X number of minutes, or is it a set
your last
minute?
Snapshot? So
okay.
Think of it like a VCR. You push record at a moment in time. If you don't like what happened the last 20 minutes, you can rewind in the spot to where you started recording. So in a VM, that's called a snapshot generally. Yeah. And it can happen while it's live, Jim. That's the magic of it. That's what people have been using the higher end VMware workstation for years. Developers, something goes wrong in their app, and they want to just try it again and roll back 10 minutes, you can do it live while the OS is booted. All of a sudden, you just see the clock jump right back, and it's just a cool thing.
So the administrator has to do that. They've got to roll it back.
Well, if you have VMware Workstation, you can do it right there. You just click a button, say snapshot, or roll back to the last one.
But can you do it as an administrator? I mean, I was using a VM, and just say, hey, roll it back, and just I'd look at my screen, and it does the matrix on me?
Yeah, that'd be more the Hyper-V or VMware ESXi world, but sure. VMware Player, lower end stuff, doesn't tend to have those features, but most users don't care. If you're not doing development or a need to roll back 10 minutes and those fancier things,
okay.
VMware Player's fine.
Or Paul, we use it in the enterprise as a really as a low impact way of performing a full system backup as well. So instead of running your nightlies out to a disk to disk unit or virtual tape library or something like that, you just snap it on the hypervisor and back it up at your leisure.
It's great for playing with 8.1 non-destructively, Jim, to try to bring it back to what we're talking about. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
You can just horse around so quickly and easily without getting another machine out or laptop out and physically rebooting. It's just so much quicker.
Well, we talked about this last night on the show, but I've become, I mean, I can't, you know, it's like in the last month, I've become a total RAID and a total VM fanatic. I mean,
we noticed.
Yeah. So, I'm admitting it. I don't want to say I was wrong, but I'm finding my way in there. So,
yeah.
It's been especially for this. You know, last year I didn't have the environment. I didn't really have the hardware to do this, and it really helped having this nice piece of hardware that I picked up. You know, I picked up this Dell Precision Workstation 690. It's a little bit of a beast, and being able to have 32 gig of RAM in it, and it's not the newest thing in the world. I mean, it's 4 or 5 years old. Yeah, it's got 2 Xeon processors on it, and they run hot, and they pull out of juice so it's not the most efficient thing in the world. But to build out as this VM test box, and I'm running Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials as the base. I wanted to see what that would look like, because you know virtualization came to us in Essentials where it wasn't there before R2. And I wanted to see how that would work, and it works just like Server does now. So it was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That would work. That's pretty cool. And now that I've got that, and they're fast, and I've built this, you know, really fast OS drive, and I'm working on building out a rated data drive, the VMs are almost as good as having it bare metal.
It
just changed the equation for them.
Jim, doing some testing with that VMware Workstation, right? You install it locally in your machine like you would VirtualBox. That's fine on a 1920 by 1080 monitor, no big deal. You expect very fluid motion when you hit the Windows key and bring up the Metro UI. You want those tiles to glide. You want your mouse wheel to slide them by or touch the screen. You want all that good stuff on a local workstation.
Yeah.
And that's expected. But when you do it remotely, like Hyper-V on a separate machine like yours, Jim, or if it was VMware, now you're doing remote desktop connection generally, right, trying to get your speed up. So I figured, why don't I go a little crazy and try 3 monitors. So I tried VMware Workstation first, and it has triple monitor capability. Basically, you go to full screen mode, then you hit the view menu at the top, and it says cycle through multiple monitors. First, it gives you 2 monitors, then it gives you all 3. It's like, okay, that works. And still, that's a local product, VMware Workstation. Now let's try it over remote desktop. So the recent versions of remote desktop have that ability. You just go in there, and you say support multiple desktops, and basically inherits the settings of whatever machine you're running it from. So I've got a 1920 by 1080 monitor on my left, identical monitor on my right, and a 2560 by 1440 in the middle. That's 7.8 million pixels I was calculating earlier.
Yeah,
and you know what? It works over RDP, over gigabit. It's a little more, you know, jumpy, of course, pumping that many pixels, even over gigabit. Not quite the fluid feel, but, you know, it still works. That's the thing. It's the dream thin client workstation you thought about 10 years ago. You can actually just do it with, you know, reasonable hardware. But yeah, you do lose some of that, the animations. Like when you buy something in the store, you go in and out of the store and you get sort of tiles and animations that you miss some of that. You know, some of it's a little bit herky-jerky.
Yeah.
Go back to 24-bit color, it comes back, it's smoother. Go back to lower color depth and everything's real fluid. But now you got some, you know, dithering and other color junk going on. But yeah, that all works. Why am I saying this, Jim? It's partly because people use corporate virtual machines or lockdown virtual machines to try to do work. And multi-monitor support is really important when you're trying to be productive. So the fact that remote desktop supports multiple monitors, and so do products like VMware Workstation, is a big step forward for trying to isolate your personal world from your business world. In 8.1 and 2012, R2, those just keep beefing up and speeding up the RDP protocol and get more and more Citrix-like and just better all the time, which is good for all of us as you play around. And Hyper-V, I guess, Jim, is that what you do? You do remote desktop connection, and then you play with your VM that way,
Yeah, that's what I've... And actually, I'm RDP'd into the server. I'm just running the desktops on the server through the RDP. I'm not doing those separately.
How's the speed?
Good enough. Fine. It's fine. I mean, it works great. I mean, it's been good. Last night we did 4 VMs, and it took about 15 gig of RAM in the process.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's been pretty good. It's just a different way, you know, as we talk about all this testing, for me, it's just been night and day from testing this year versus last year. You can spin those up so quickly and then just start looking at them and doing some testing. And I'm not really worried about the performance of Windows 8, you know, .1. It's going to be as good or maybe even a little bit better. Microsoft's paying a lot of attention to those kinds of things. I just want to get a good feel for when customers or when people I'm helping are asking me questions about that. I want to be able to answer them, and I want to be able to do that through experience. So this helps me get there with that. I do want to go back. Andrew, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I love Raid Like You.
Yeah. Raid Like You.
I'm just waiting for the Gen 8 microservice to come out so I can actually get some affordable RAID support hardware.
It might be cheaper for you to fly to the UK and pick up one of those and haul it back than to try and buy it there locally.
I'm hoping staff prices are going to be appealing.
Yeah.
But no, I think Paul's onto it there. You know, the multi-monitor support, especially in the VDI space, and you know, the virtual desktop for, you know, running something like a call center or something like that. We're seeing that come through more and more. In the enterprise, you know, your call center typically used to have one screen. Now they've got two or three per desktop, but they're still running off a terminal services gateway environment or some form of virtual desktop. And, you know, the productivity increase that they see is just phenomenal once they add that second or third monitor. And you're really only, you know, doing the heavy lifting in the back end. You know, your client's still very, very light.
Right. Yeah. Kind of harken back to our virtualization discussions from a couple weeks ago, for sure.
Yeah.
So, well, let me circle back around with SkyDrive. I know we get even tighter integration in Windows 8.1 with SkyDrive, and you saw that, Paul. You were on that screen a while back where you know, I was asking to make that connect. You know, to make that connection. Is it good that Microsoft's really moving in this direction to really kind of, I don't want to say force you into the cloud, but certainly with tighter SkyDrive integration, is this a good step? Is it viewed as a good step to get everything integrated with SkyDrive, do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think my family, younger members, my kids, definitely more into that, right? If you want to rebuild your machine and pick up where you left off, it's kind of a lot easier to save your documents out there somewhere. Even though I have a home server and a network share, Jim, it's kind of like you. No one wants to use the network drive mapping. They like to save it somewhere else. That's okay.
I don't understand that.
It's okay.
I know. I made all these shares for my kids, and I'm like, use them, and they're like, no, they're not interested in that. Yep, I'm like, don't you want to save anything? And they're like, no.
Two words, folder redirect.
Yeah. No, true. True. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the only thing you'd want to save would be homework, and who wants to save homework, right?
They don't want to keep their homework. I don't get it. It's like, nah, whatever. You know, they're just so different.
When's homework going to become a blog entry and disposable?
Yeah, if you talk with Christian, it sounds like it already has become, you know, that way in most cases. So it's very different. What are you showing us there, Paul?
Okay. So this screen is Windows 8 running under ESXi. So, no, I'm not quite situated yet. Hang on, let's come back to that camera in a second. Okay. But basically, I was going to try to do an A-B comparison, see how herky-jerky it gets for a remote desktop protocol versus, you know, locally installed VMware workstation. Because this is what people are doing, right? Is trying it 8.1,
trying it that way.
Kicking the tires, and what's the fastest? And
did
anybody
install it locally? Mike, did you install it on anything local? Or is it all?
No, it's all VM.
Yeah, Tim Black, who's actually out in chat right now, he pinged me yesterday. I think we were talking on the Facebook page, and he says, "I'm getting ready to do it." And I was like, "Stop! Don't! You know, you're gonna unless you're really ready to recover. Like we talked about this early in the show. Unless you're really ready to recover that thing, you may want to think twice before you put that on bare metal. Unless you're just going to reimage that bare metal piece, anyways."
I have a thought, Jim.
Yeah.
I went to a Hyper-V all-day workshop, what do we call it? Some sort of build fest at a Microsoft building in Cambridge, Mass. And I brought my ThinkPad W520, and without destroying my hard drive, I just brought an external hard drive and an eSATA P cable. So I just threw that in the live stream. So tinkertry.com/eSATA P for external SATA cable, but powered. What that gives you is when you have a USB 2.0 combined eSATA port on the side of some laptops, like a W520 happens to have, you now have a way, SATA 2 speeds, mind you, but still, you have a way to hook up a solid-state drive, go into your BIOS, change your boot order, and monkey around with Hyper-V all day, and then just, or Windows 8.1, and then just go right back and unplug it and go right back to your regular C drive when you're done messing around for an hour or two. It's a way to avoid any kind of screwdriver work. It's just a thought. There are creative ways on some laptops to make it easy. USB 3 is not a boot target, I don't think, still, right? So it's a lot easier if you just have SATA, because it's just seen as a hard drive. The ThinkPad doesn't really care if it's internal or external at that point. It just sees it as a boot target. So just pointing that out for folks that might be thinking eSATA. eSATA P, the power, makes it easier. But if you have regular eSATA adapter on the side of your laptop, okay, you can get it to work, but your hard drive is probably going to need like a little enclosure with power, right? You need to get power from somewhere. So just pointing out some options for folks as they want to horse around and, you know, there you go.
It's a good one.
Especially if your C drive is encrypted, it really can't do anything with it, right? You can horse around in this external drive, and it can't even see your internal laptop drives. So
yeah,
more food for thought. There's lots of options, and that'll give you the fastest experience, of course.
Good idea.
Okay. Let me try.
Guys, anything... What else? We've talked about a lot of front end stuff that's changed. Anything else on the front end? Or I'll throw it open for back end changes with 8.1 that are of notoriety. Or is this pretty much it? What else is out there? All right. Well, that's the show. Well,
Hyper-V. So Jim, there's Hyper-V role on Windows 8.1. And it's different than Workstation, I'm reading. VMware Workstation you put on there, and it's a Type 2 hypervisor. It just has a couple services that can be pretty much ignored that have to do with USB and stuff, but it's really out of your way when you're not running any VMs. But with the Hyper-V role added to 8.1, you now reboot and enable some stuff in your processor. Was it SLAP support you need, which is on modern CPUs like the Lenovo Yoga, for instance? People were asking me that on my website when I posted about the Yoga. They're like, hey, can it do Hyper-V? Can you run this command to see if it can do SLAP? So, okay. Anyhow, when you do that, you now can no longer use VMware Workstation because the level 1 hypervisor is taken over first. And that could have an impact, and it gets some gamers thinking, if my frame rate's dropped even 2 or 5 or 12%, I don't want it. So I just pointed out that Hyper-V role on, say, a Windows 8 box you might have lying around and then trying to kick the tires by using its virtualization for 8.1 testing, probably great for most of us here. But if you're an absolutely purist into absolute performance, you know, I don't know. I haven't tested this, though. I don't know if I want to believe when people say your frame rate drops or it actually affects you. I kind of would have believed that the impact was probably extremely low. But Michael, have you played with that, or you know what I'm talking about a little bit?
No. I have an actual Hyper-V server, so I haven't played around with it. That's like low on my priority.
Yeah, it's client side virtualization.
I just haven't gotten around to it. But I did know that it works exactly the same as it does on server. It goes in and basically takes over and inserts itself between the hardware and the OS, and the OS just effectively just becomes a host OS like it would on server, and then you can just guest everything out from there. So
And that has advantages too. It could be faster, right? And yesterday on Google Plus, I posted someone's excellent article comparing VMware Workstation with Hyper-V on the client side. When you're just trying to kick the tires in operating systems and you don't have a server and you're trying to do it right in your laptop, these are things that matter. So to me, did 8.1 get better? You know, is it faster with the file system? Because traditionally VMware, it's not that great with the local hard drive. The throughput's just not that fast booting VMs and all. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm curious about. It's just a beta, though. Whether it means anything for the real release in the fall, who knows? So I don't tend to spend a lot of time on it either.
It's better to have the hypervisor closer to the metal. So.
Yep.
Which means
depends on your perspective.
Yes. This is true. It does depend on your perspective.
Yeah. If you're a gamer and looking for absolute raw performance out of your laptop, you might shy away from the Hyper-V role if it does anything to your performance, even when you're not running VMs.
Mm-hmm.
That might be false. I don't know if that's true. I've just been reading some stuff about it recently. Let me share a link on the live stream here. But yeah,
one of the things that's supposed to be different now, of course, is the way you know, it used to be you could go a third and two thirds or slide that over half screen multi monitor and
metric. Oh, the snap mode?
Yeah, snap. There we go. I don't know how to do that in without having touch. Do you know what's the? Is there a key?
Hold down the Windows key and the arrows.
Yeah, oh. Or you can just reach up. You know, use your mouse. Reach up till you get the little hand at the top there, and when you pull it down, you drag it off to the sides, and it'll snap to one side or the other.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was hoping to get my hands on the yoga tonight to try touch, but no, I haven't tried touch. Anyone else had a chance yet?
No, not touch, with eight. Okay. No.
And no, virtualization adds an interesting twist. How do you do touch through a VM? I wanted to see if that was possible.
That is interesting.
Michael, what are you saying?
That was interesting. One last thing on that last part, Paul, with the gamers, just throwing this thought out there is, I don't know how much it would actually affect gaming performance considering that the Xbox One is built on top of Hyper-V.
Good comeback. Good point. Good counterpoint. Yeah.
That's true.
Eat that, Paul. That's good. It's all good.
Take that. All right. So I got this working here real quick. Let me switch you over. I have no idea where screens are. Okay. So here we are. Let's see. I'll allow that. Okay, so all right, I need to find the box again. So I'm in my mail, and if I want to, well, that's probably
not. Oh, you get spammed by Microsoft as well.
Oh, I do. Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay, so we drag that down, and you can see then the snap to. Can you see that in the. Doesn't show as. A little bit, yeah. There we go.
You can see the lines and the dots.
Slide that around, and the snap 2 comes in. So you could drop that in there, and then I've got the ability to move that. Is it still only in certain? Oop, that part went away. Let's try that again. Is the snap still only certain widths, or can you do it in any width?
No, there's a minimum 320 pixels.
Oh, so I need to crank up my resolution a little bit if I expect to do something.
Yeah, that might be it. Right, the 800 by 600 might be your problem there.
Let's bring that down. Or whatever. It's really at a poor resolution here, so hold on. There we go. I cranked it all the way down so it would make a little bit easier to see. 1024 by 768. We'll just crank it up just a little bit more and see if that does anything for me. And that changed in live stream. Okay.
Wait. While you're setting that up, Jim, just a quick comment.
Yeah.
The eSATA cable, I need to be real careful. People need a full backup before you go monkeying with installing Windows 8 on a laptop and making sure you don't horse around or mess up your C drive. And the easiest way to host things is, well, first of all, if you don't have a full backup, so you're worried you might mess up. But also, you have to go in the BIOS, change that eSATA drive to the first thing in the boot order. Now you can stick on your USB or CD-ROM or whatever and just install to that C drive. And it won't have any issues. It'll only touch the C drive. If it's like a second or third drive, it's going to taint your laptop's C drive, and that's the last thing you want. It becomes a boot target added to a boot menu. You don't want to go there. So I just want to point out, if you're going to go down that route and you want to keep life simple, be very careful. Full system backup with bare metal restore tested and working, like home server does so well, first. And then second, just watch carefully what you're doing in the BIOS and make sure that external target is first. When you're all done, turn it off, unplug the eSATA cable, make sure your BIOS is back where you had it, your C drive on the top of the boot order, and then everything's good. So it's a little bit scary, but I just wanted to throw the warning out there in case someone actually goes and tries this. Thanks, Jim. Sorry. You all set?
No. Yeah, no, I was just showing
while
you were doing that. There's the store, and then I can just drag that down. And again, it must be, the resolution's still pretty low, so, but push that over, and then I've got a couple options to make it there, or I could, you can see here, it looks like when it's going to give you an option, the line goes black, right? So, boop, there it goes. It's okay, that one will work for you, but as I get farther out, that line goes away, and then it just goes full screen. This, I'll be honest with you, this is an area of Windows 8 I just have not messed around with very much when I've used it.
And I'm pretty sure you can do that to multiple monitors as well.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think that's one of the multi-monitor improvements is that you can push the snap to a different monitor so you can effectively, you know, if you have two monitors, you can have, you know, two or three different snaps occurring at once.
I need to try that. I've got everything right in front of me. I should be able to test that.
I haven't tested that yet, but that's my understanding.
And Jim, you're on low resolution there, and that's interesting because in the past you had to have a minimum for Windows 8, and now with 8.1 they've loosened that up, so that smaller 8-inch form factors can come out, right? So they've actually gone to lower resolution. The Metro UI now has to support, the modern UI has to support lower resolution than ever before. They did a downgrade, right, which is odd. But I did read that somewhere too. So Michael, I'm trying what you said, the Snap 2 and multiple monitor support. Let's see how this looks. It's not something Google Hangout will let me share, though. Google Hangout only lets you share one monitor at a time, which
fine.
Makes sense. But yeah,
you know, I
believe your confirmation or not.
Yeah.
Last night when we were messing around with installing apps, I wasn't getting this screen where it said, you know, the app was installing. I couldn't even tell what the process was, where it was at. But it looks like tonight when I ran it was there, so maybe it was just hiding behind something.
Oh, I did notice the taskbar is mirrored across all desktops by default. So I now have two monitors running my Windows 8.1 build, and by default I haven't monkeyed with the settings of my taskbar. It shows the Start button, Internet Explorer running, and Explorer folder next to it. And it doesn't matter what window, which monitor my Internet Explorer instance is dragged to, it always shows the same taskbar to both monitors. So that's just, I think that's a new default.
That's, I'm not sure. No, that's default on Windows 8 as well.
Oh, was it? Okay, I must have changed that. One of the first things I changed.
It's probably a lot more noticeable now that the Start button's there.
Yep. Okay, so now I got to try. Can you talk me through what you were saying, Michael, earlier about Snap 2, and what do I do here? You want me to run, I don't know, a weather app?
Yeah, sure. Run a weather app and then just, you know, go up and grab and push it off to the side so that, you know, it snaps to
the side window.
Too bad I can't see because I got my full screen here.
I've got Twitter open there, so there's the Twitter app. And grab that, whoops, not that way, grab it there, and then slide that over, and I get the option.
Now open another Metro.
Yeah, let's slide that.
Sorry, three monitors isn't enough. I couldn't see it. Now I got you dragged to the right monitor, but that's all right. I'll figure it out.
Hold on.
Let me try that again.
Oh, I like this too, this switch between apps, and this is on 2012, but this is new for both, where you can just flip between the two. There we go, and...
Interesting.
I get so lost in this. I don't know where I'm at.
That switch between all apps, that little button is new. You were able to do that in Windows 8 as well. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, but it's the swipe up wasn't there before, right? You'd swipe up to get the apps, but...
No, you just right-click and then click on all apps.
Right, yeah. But now there's a button for it.
Yes, now there's a button, so now it's a lot. It's one click less.
Yeah.
Interesting complication. When you're using VMware Workstation, you move your mouse to the top, of course, you get the drop down. And that can be a little annoying as you're trying to do those gestures for Snap 2. That's just something to point out. Okay, so now I've done a Snap 2 halfway. Great. Now let me see. I can't show you remotely, unfortunately. And now I've done a two-thirds Snap view. That works. Now let me grab the top. It's in this little draggable mode, and drag it to my secondary monitor, and ta-da, it worked. Nice. So yeah, you can move around the Metro UI from screen to screen. Yes. Oh, I wish I could show that. I could just aim the camera at the screen. It's kind of low-tech.
You could just rip it off the top.
But it works, yeah. And it's also two different resolutions, I should point out.
Yep.
So it handled that too. Yeah, nice. Okay, let's... How did I set this up?
All right.
It'll take me a second to set it up, Jim. But you asked about back-end changes, and my answer was kind of strange. It was about speed and virtualization Hyper-V, but that's the kind of stuff that interests me. Like, did they move forward and faster and better and all technically under the hood? And I'm sure there's other things over time we'll all discover. Bare metal restore, backups. Didn't really try that stuff yet. So,
you know, I just installed Twitter, and now I can't find it.
hit the start button and type TW.
Yeah, but it should be on the front. I know that. But it should be on the front, you know, it should be on the start page, right? So here we'll...
Well, not necessarily.
Doesn't it...
Did they get away with the automatic pinning to your start screen when you install?
Oh, maybe I didn't do that.
I don't know.
All right, so we'll click down to apps. That is nice. I do like that. And where would Twitter be?
I'm telling you.
I'm pretty sure I installed that.
TWIT.
See, but that didn't work. I could have swore I loaded that.
Are you in the correct VM?
Maybe I did it on the other one.
Did you load it on the host machine?
Let's look. No, I'm pretty sure it was on the 8.1 preview.
Are you sure? Didn't look like it.
8.1 preview. Oh, here, we'll go back to the store. Maybe I didn't. We'll try it again. There's Twitter. You're right.
Look at him smile now.
All right, so it's installing right now. So no wonder I saw the install message come up. That was on Windows 8. So here I'm in 8.1, right? I'm installing this as it goes. Typically, there's a little message right up here in the upper right-hand corner that mm-hmm. says installing. It's not there.
Hit the start button.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So when I go back to the store, you know, it should, in theory, be, you know, it should be up there that says, hey, I'm installing this thing.
Pull open your charms and then see if there's a setting for that.
Okay, hold on. If we go back, it says it's installed. Go to the charms. This is one of the things I don't like about VMs. It is hard to get some control over this thing.
What, window key C?
You're not full screened either, Jim. That makes life tougher.
I know. I need to do that. Hold on.
You got a secondary monitor and go full screen on it, it sure is easier because then you can reach the corners easier.
Yeah.
That's one of the nice things about RDP as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your
keyboard stuff works.
It actually does work. Yeah, it's not the greatest. I guess I'm learning in it. Let me do this here. Let me drop out of this. Anything else, guys, while I'm fumbling around with that? You want to close the books on 8.1?
Well, multi-monitor support's a big deal for me, and seeing a smoother experience makes modern UI look slightly more doable for different things for me, but what I really want to test is when I click on another monitor, does modern UI go away? And I heard in the betas it does, so I don't see any reason this preview wouldn't be the same. I'm going to try that right now. You guys think about that? Like, wouldn't it be kind of, if you actually have three monitors, it might not be so bad to leave the modern UI running for a little bit. And as it is, if you click desktop anywhere else, it just goes away, right? I'm going to test that right now. But, yeah, it's one of those things I was thinking about, Jim.
Yeah.
What do you guys think so far, your experience overall? I mean, it's
overall,
all right, right?
I think it's a nice improvement. They improved a lot of key areas. They added some nice functionality. You know, it's exactly what they called it. It's a .1 upgrade.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but some good improvements, right?
I mean. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. They fixed some stuff that needed to be fixed. You know, they added some requested features like boot to desktop and the start button. You know, they didn't go so far as to, in my opinion, totally tank it by putting in the start menu. You know, I think if they put that in, that pretty much would have killed it.
I have good news to report. It works. Mm-hmm. So I can leave the modern UI, my left monitor, and my big central monitor. I'm doing desktop stuff. And it did not take down the modern UI.
Mm-hmm.
So Something weird just happened. Let's see. Yep, I'm scrolling through. I'm doing stuff. When I minimize Internet Explorer running on full screen or maximized on my primary monitor, I minimize Internet Explorer. Strangely, at that point, Modern UI went away. So I'm kind of eating my words there. It sort of stays up, but it decides to close at some point. That's strange. Oh, well. A mixed bag of luck with that.
I should mention...
Yeah, experiences may vary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Your mileage may vary. I should mention a feature we haven't talked about at all, and we won't talk about it very long, is that 3D printing support comes with 8.1. So if you want to...
I can rush out and get my 3D printer now.
Yeah, it has a 3D printing API, allowing you to print directly to 3D printers from the Charms Bar.
Oh,
so if you've got one of those plans, I just saw somewhere, I think tonight I was out on Yahoo or something, I just saw those 3D printers are getting more and more. I mean, they're just where they used to be, you know, there's a handful of them. They're starting to show up all over the place now. And, it, you know, 3D printing was kind of like, meh. And now people are creating, I mean, we did, I was out at the local university, and these kids built this robot arm. And they built the arm all out of it. They sent their plans off to a 3D printer, and they were printed all there. It's pretty cool. And it was like, it wasn't very expensive. $20 maybe for the, you know, they charged them to print this. So it's getting affordable and a little bit more common.
That's what it means, though, that they're doing an awful lot of that work, though, for the price to come down that far.
Yeah.
Because what's the printer worth?
Depends on the vintage and the size. I mean, we have a couple at work that are, they're the size of small refrigerators. And, you know, they're multi-$1,000 units.
Yeah, but well, sort of tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands?
I would guess probably tens of thousands.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's effectively a CNC device, isn't it? Is that how it works? Or, like, does it start with a solid block or something, or does it actually build it up?
No, it builds it up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the one I saw had a big reel of this orange, and Mike, do you know what the material is that they use for the...
Plastic.
Is it just a plastic?
Yeah, it's like some kind of plastic that just they just kind of melt it in, you know. That's not what I have at work, but that's what, like the MakerBot type stuff.
Right.
Yeah, those just use some, it's like an extruded plastic that they use.
Okay. So it had this big reel of this plastic tube that just went down to the printer, and then the printer was, you know, was sitting, you know, there's a big, probably, 3x3 square, and this thing was just heating up, melting, and placing that plastic in strips along the grid, you know? And, Paul, I see you're trying to show us your monitors there.
Yep, so here you've got the 2560 by 1440 27-inch monitor. On my left is a 22-inch 1920 by 1080 monitor. Both are running the same instance of Windows 8.1 under VMware Workstation in full-screen mode, so it can do multiple monitor support. And here you've got the Modern UI, and it's running, and you can see the exposure is blown out. I'm not sure why. It seems my webcam, I can't adjust that on the fly, can I? But anyhow, so now you see on my right-hand monitor, you're looking at Internet Explorer, and I'm dragging a window around. I minimize that window. Notice the Modern UI is staying put. Drag another window and minimize it. When I take the last window and minimize it, meaning I guess I want to see my desktop on the main machine, as soon as I minimize that window, the Modern UI went away on the left. So that's the behavior they chose. If you're trying to look at your desktop, they figure you're trying to look at your desktop on all three of your monitors, and it just gets rid of the Modern UI at that point.
So for me, that's not
a big deal, because I have multiple monitors. I rarely look at my desktop. So as long as you leave something running, your Modern UI could stay running all day long if you want. So yeah, it sounds like you definitely made a change there. That's a difference in behavior for sure. You could not do that before.
Yeah, no, you couldn't.
So there you go.
Does that make for a better, I mean, I would say yes to this question, but does that make for a better experience with multi-monitor? I guess we'll throw that out to chat. Is that what we were looking for? I mean, I know there was a lot of complaints about multi-monitor with Windows 8. Is this a better, you know?
Was there?
Yeah, when it first came out, I heard a lot of people complaining about multi-monitor support is just not very good, and it seemed like it would flip between the Metro and the desktop. And again, I never went Windows 8 here at the house. I stayed Windows 7. It was just easier, especially for the podcast stuff that I do.
Yeah, no, I have you know, vanilla Windows 8 and on multi-monitors, and I don't really have any problems with it, other than, you know, the original problems, but the actual multi-monitor support works really, really well. I mean, I'm able to, you know, you can choose, like, where the taskbar buttons are. You can, you know, show the taskbar on all displays or just show it on your primary display. You can choose, you know, what buttons are on other taskbars and whether you can combine them or not. I mean, there's a lot of customization that you could do to it.
Okay.
And, you know, I really didn't have a problem with it. The only thing I really had a problem with, and even then it was just kind of like, well, that was odd, is exactly what Paul's showing off, where, you know, you open up the start screen on the left side, let's say, and on the right side is your primary, and you're working, you know, you want to work while keeping that up so you can see, like, you know, notifications or weather, or maybe you got something running, and, you know, your live tiles, whatever, and, you know, as soon as you move a window or whatever, that whole thing would turn off on that screen. Now it looks like it sticks until you try to go to that screen, then it, you know, it'll kill it, which is, you know, probably the behavior that I would expect. So, but as far as multi-monitor support, I mean, I don't know, everything showed up on the monitors, and you could choose where things showed up on what monitors, so I don't know how much more, you know, what more they're looking for in multi-monitor support.
And maybe, you know, it's just an impression that I got, Mike. It just there were some folks that were complaining. I never really dug into it that much. I didn't in the studio here. For me, it just made sense to stay with Windows 7, and so all my Windows 8 experience has been on a single monitor for the most part. I leave them on my laptop, which is multi-touch,
right?
And that just works fine. So that's been my experience, or a tablet, one of the two.
One other thing to say would be, suppose you have a modern UI app that you actually like. I don't know, maybe an RSS news reader. Well, now you can actually leave it running on a desktop on one of your multiple monitors. You might actually use that app. I mean, to really enhance adoption, if some of these apps are decent and usable, finally you can now do that if you're a multi-monitor, multi-desktop kind of person. And that's more and more, you know, easy.
Yeah.
You know, even my laptop, for well under 1,000, you can get 3 monitors running on a modest laptop. It doesn't take ridiculous amounts of grunt anymore.
Well, maybe it's time to move to 8, you know, here in the studio. Maybe it's time to move to, you know, 8.1 when this goes this fall and we get access to it. I mean, as I look at this, maybe it's the first version. You know, you're always a little hesitant going full prod on the first version. You know, but here's the second one. It's a Windows XP Service Pack 2
1,
yeah, and or whatever.
Yeah,
even Vista got better after the first Service Pack. So it's time. You're way out of focus, Paul. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know what the camera's doing. It seems to be stuck on bright exposure. Sorry about that, but you got the idea.
That's right. Yeah. No, very cool. Other Jim in chat was saying, home 3D printers are about $1,500 here in the United States. I don't know why you do a 3D at home. I guess if you printed those kinds of things, it'd be good to have a 3D printer at home. But all right,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, probably, and they'll come down. It's just, you know, it's 3D printers are not new. They've been around for a while, but it seems like in the last year they've really made a ramp up to notoriety, public, you know. More knowledge, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. It's been a long day. They've gotten more popular. There we go. And so it'd be interesting to see where they go. I think if you can manufacture stuff, some stuff, just, you know, right on your printer at home, that could change things a little bit. Although, you know, if they have the same printer ink scandal that inkjet printers had, the printer will get down to $75, but that spool of plastic will cost you, you know, $1,000 to get in. So, all right. Well, guys, we're at about 15 or about 20 after, which is good. We're about an hour 20, and we'll wrap this up. This will be our first look at Windows 8.1. Of course, we'll stay around for a few minutes in the post show if you guys want to talk about some more stuff. But we're going to wrap up the recorded version of this. Thanks, guys, for coming out on short notice, and even. Michael, thanks for reminding me today. Hey, you're going to respond to my Google Plus message. and so I appreciate you coming in. Paul, thanks for coming out as well on short notice and doing this with us tonight. Andrew, great to see you. And how did you get the house quiet? Is he there?
We heard dogs in the beginning announce his arrival, right?
And Andrew, can you hear me, Andrew?
That's how he got the house quiet. He unplugged the mic.
He muted himself. You muted. He's on the phone. That's what happened. He got a conference call. So anyway,
hey, Jim?
Just
a quick closing thought. Haswell. Imagine a Haswell laptop, something really new, where it can do a deeper sleep mode. So when you close it acts more like your phone. You open the screen and it's already synchronized and gotten your email, right?
Yep.
That's the vision. So if you want to get excited about 8.1, think a few months ahead of time where we got new hardware to go with it. So I'll just leave you to that teaser, right? That's the promise. Make your Ultrabook a whole lot more like your phone.
Yeah.
And remember, iOS 7 is doing that too. It's going to be pulling stuff in the background. Well, shouldn't your laptop be able to do that?
I got to say this, though, on that thought. You know, Michael had me buy that Asus.
I had you?
You had
oh, here we go.
Me. Yeah. No, it was a great deal. It was, and I'm trying to think of what the name of that thing was.
It's a VivoBook.
VivoBook, yeah. And $399, I think I picked it up at Amazon, and it's $450 now, but if you're interested in that.
Just wait for it to go on sale.
$399. I saw it on Woot. I saw the refurb version on Woot for $299.
Oh,
and
wow.
At $299, that's an awesome deal.
Wow.
Mike, that laptop is really good. I mean,
I'm telling you, it blew me away, and I was, I mean, I got rid of my yoga, and I was like, you know, that might work. I was really invested in that, and I decided I'm just going to wait for a Haswell one. But yeah.
Yeah, it's dynamite. I mean, a touchscreen, and I think 5-point touchscreen on that little 11-inch screen. Resolution is great. I open that thing up, I hit the space bar, and Windows is there. I mean, I don't know what kind of wizardry they're doing to make that work as well as it is, but I don't care. That thing fires right up and it is ready to go, and that's a 500 gig spinner, so it's not like I'm using an SSD in there to make it any faster. And you fold that thing up and I carry it. It's super light. It's sleek. It looks good. It's got all the right ports. You know, it's got a mini HDMI
HDMI.
It's got a USB 3 port on it, which is dynamite. The Ethernet port on it is small, so when you're looking at it, the side is kind of beveled as it goes in. But when you go to put the Ethernet port in, a little door just boop pops out a little bit, so you can get that Ethernet jack in there. It's slick, and the touchpad is like butter.
When yeah, it's actually nice.
Yeah,
for a cheap rinky-dink laptop, it's actually
unbelievable.
Nice.
I use that at work just about every day, and every day I'm like, man, this thing is. And people come in the office all the time and sitting on my desk, and they go, and they know it's not Gallup purchased, and they're like, is that your laptop? I'm like, well, yeah, we bought it, and they're like, man, that thing looks good.
So Jim, can you throw in the show notes? Or? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, here, let me pull it. I'll just
people have to, have something to use that Amazon affiliate link, averageguy.tv /Amazon.
Thanks, Paul.
No problem.
Thank you for throwing that out there. Actually, you know, the Amazon account's been doing real well, so I want to thank if you've been a listener for a while and you are using our Amazon link, that part is going real well, so I appreciate you going out. And we're turning that into giveaway stuff, and I've got some other plans for it as well. To just make the podcast better. So that VivoBook is right here. And if you want to take a peek at it, let me just get the code for it real quick, the shorten up code for it. I have recommended this thing to just everybody. That's, there it is, it's in chat now.
Nice.
I have recommended that thing, Michael, to everybody. I'm like, this is one drawback to it, okay, just one that I found. If it had backlit keys, it would just be over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to backlit keys.
Oh, yeah. No, right on. This thing has been dynamite. So, Paul, to circle around, you said Haswell for speed. This thing, even with, and what would be in here, Michael? Do you know from a, which, this is?
What chip?
Yeah.
The CPU? It's an i3-3217, I think.
Which is?
Two gerbils.
1.8.
Yeah.
1.8?
What's the board? What's the board? Sandy Bridge? No.
Oh, Ivy Bridge.
Ivy Bridge. Thank you.
Yes.
There you go.
And it's super stable, and it just works great. So Haswell, yes. So I wanted to ask you the question then, Michael, as well. Haswell, I know Fauché has had some testing problems with some of the boards he's been getting. Your opinion of Haswell to date?
Everything I've looked at for desktop workstation use, I don't see any need in upgrading unless I was outside of the core generation. So in other words, if I was using Core 2 Duo, yeah, upgrade. If you're using you know, any kind of Core i5, i3, i7, you're unless you want some of the specific features that come with that chipset or those boards, I don't see any reason to upgrade. Most of the benefits are going to come to the mobile market.
Okay.
Yeah. Jim,
that's a tangible benefit.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no, I was agreeing. Ditto. Looking at trying to break past 32 gig boundary for something like home virtualization with four memory slots, four DIMM slots, mm-hmm. it's not going to help you there either. And it's really not going to help your watt burn much. You know, what, 4% less or 8% less?
Yeah.
The idle states, like for a workstation where you're literally running one OS and you go into sleep, or the idle states, okay, there it'll burn less watts. But if you're running virtualization that where you leave three or four VMs running 24/7, I don't think it's going to make any difference versus my Z68 Sandy Bridge from just 2 years ago. It's not going to give me more memory slots, and it's not. It doesn't really.
I think Fauchet said it even runs hotter.
It does. It has a higher TDP.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess I feel the same way. I'm looking more towards next year for replacing my
Haswell Mobile is what you're saying. So exactly. Focus. If you're going to do that, don't upgrade your desktop. But certainly the Haswell stuff that's coming out on the mobile is worth a solid look.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Yeah, and I heard you and Fauchet talking about that in a podcast or two back a ways mm-hmm. on BYOB. So that's a good one to listen to for me, because I had some misconceptions about Haswell as well, and to hear you guys kind of say, desktop, wait, basically is what you said. That's good to hear. Good
yeah, I made a quick 180 on that. So I was all jazzed, and then like 2 weeks later, I was like, nah.
Maybe not.
I'll hold on to my dollars for right now.
Yeah.
Mike Fauchet's articles were awesome, by the way. A series of three. It really did a good job teasing you. 1, 2, 3, publishing a few days apart. It was just great. He was very honest. Stuff went wrong, and we're not always thrilled to blog about that, but I think it was great that he just went for it and talked about it, and there was a lot to learn from his stories.
One of the advantages of buying your own gear is you can just rip it when you're writing about it and not feel guilty about it. All right, but let me wrap this part up. We'll hang around a little bit for the post-show, but guys, thanks for coming out tonight as we took a first look at Windows 8.1. I learned a bunch, so I appreciate you walking that through me. I did a little bit of research coming in, but I learned a ton tonight, so thanks. A ton. As Paul mentioned earlier, if you want to subscribe or use any of our links, we have a bunch of them. And just a lot of stuff going on there. If you want to subscribe on YouTube, which doesn't get you all that much, but I created a new YouTube URL. So you can go to theaverageguy.tv/YouTube, and that's our platform out there. If you want to catch previous episodes, that's a great way to do it. Of course, you know, we are live every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central. I want to thank the guys out in chat tonight. Some really good chat going on. It's a tough night in some ways because Dave moved Surface Geeks to 8 p.m. Central tonight, so we're going head-to-head, and we share a lot of the same community, and so some of the folks are over there as well. In fact, we were going to try and do a mega episode with that, the two of us to get together, but I had enough of you guys that would have made that way too big, and so I thought even I might get Zadler in here as well, and I thought, no, we can do our own thing tonight, and we'll push that out through our channels as well. So you can catch that stuff. You can catch us live, theaverageguy.tv/live. Don't forget, we have groups on Facebook, and that Facebook group has been slowing down in growth. So if you haven't head out there, great conversation going on in the group. That's just theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. That's a new URL as well that I created, so that you could easily remember that. And then, of course, if you want to join our Google Plus group, and there's really no conversation going on over there, but just in case there is, theaverageguy.tv/Google. Do you see a trend there? All right.
Yeah.
So if you want to catch anything, like if you want to go to our gear page, guess what that would be? Theaverageguy.tv/gear, right? So you can head out there. Or we do have a new affiliate with geeks.com as well. If you're ordering cables or stuff like that, geeks.com, a lot like Monoprice, except if you go through our link, I make a little bit of money on that for the podcast, and you can just go to theaverageguy.tv/geeks and, I think that's geeks. Let me make sure. It could be geek. It is geeks, and we'll make a few cents for that as well. So we'll do this all again next. We're taking a week off. So if you're listening to this during the week, no podcast on the 4th of July. If you're here in the United States, of course, you know that's when we broke from the shackles, the ruthless shackles of those guys. Just had to say it, right? So we will be celebrating Independence Day next Thursday. I'm not going to do a podcast. I could take a week off anyways. It'll be good. We'll be back 2 weeks with some new podcasts, some new topics. I think I'm going to recycle. Well, maybe we'll do one now. I don't know. We'll have to see what we do. Maybe Windows 8.1 again. Maybe just something brand new, or maybe we'll just do a roundtable home tech like we used to do and have a good time with that. We'll be back 2 weeks from now, 8 p.m. Central. Catch you guys later. Stay around for the post show. Remember, you have to come to the live show and stay around to hear the post show. It does not make the recording. So good night, everybody. Well, Mike, I wanted to spend a few minutes because I know you've been very open about what's been going on with you, and you posted that out on Facebook. But we really haven't had a chance to kind of talk to you since you found out that the potential of, I shouldn't say the potential, you have some form of cancer. Just how where it's at, we don't know yet. But I wanted you to
we know at least one spot.
Yeah. So I wanted to just back up a little bit. Whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Okay.
I know I'm going to tag this onto the back of the podcast just so guys know.
So do you want me to tell you and tell me about why your volume all of a sudden gets really loud? So I need
We'll do.
Just give you a background. So I had a what is called a blue nevi. Lots of people have these things. And for most people, they remain benign forever. As a matter of fact, I think there's only been about 100 recorded cases in the United States of them ever turning malignant. And I've had mine since at least high school, probably even grade school, on the back of my head, two of them. And I always wondered what would happen if I went bald, if they're going to have these two funny little lumps back there. And what they are is they're like a mole or something that's deep in your skin, and it's kind of, in my case, it was two bumps. About a year ago, they turned into something else. And I guess, like I've done in the past, I tend to ignore things for a while. I one time walked 2 weeks on a broken leg before going to see a doctor. But my wife saw, after I was cutting the grass, my wife saw something in the back of my head because of my hair was all sweaty and everything. And as soon as she saw it, I was going to the dermatologist. So first meeting with the dermatologist, she said, she looked at it and she says, we're removing that today. So I went there thinking we'll have a little talk, maybe plan something in the future. She wanted to cut it out right then and there. So we did a little outpatient thing. She cut it out and it came back as malignant. What they call it is malignant blue nevi-like melanoma. So it's basically the same thing as melanoma. And one day we have the test to see Monday we have surgery to remove it all. So right now they only remove the small section. I won't get too graphic here, but they remove a small section, most of the spot. They remove about a 4-centimeter area, maybe a little bit more on Monday, and which will require a little bit of plastic surgery to the back of my head. And then they also will do the lymph node things where they will put radioactive dye into the wound and see which lymph nodes light up. And then from that, they will remove those and test them to see if there's anything in the lymph nodes. If there's nothing in the lymph nodes, then because of the size of the tumor, they'll probably still have me go through some chemo. But if there is something in the lymph nodes, then we'll have to go through the full thing. We'll do body scans to see if it's spread anywhere, and then if it's spread anywhere, then you have to do even more. So right now there's basically 4 stages of melanoma, maybe all cancers, I don't know, but at least melanoma: stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, and stage 4. Right now I'm at stage 2 because of the size of the tumor. But they haven't done the lymph node test yet. So you don't move to stage 2 to stage 3 until they test the lymph nodes. If there's anything in that, and lymph nodes are like a delivery system for other things, not just cancer, but that's cancer rides the lymph nodes in the blood vessels to deliver. If there's anything in the lymph nodes at all, then you move to stage 3. If it has gone anywhere else in the body, then it go to stage 4. And of course, the life expectancy every time you move down that level changes. Yeah, so for Monday we'll have the surgery, which will include the removing of the lymph nodes, and then later in the week we will have the results back from the lymph node. So until then, we don't really know much.
So everything's hinging, at least at this point. You shouldn't say hinging. I mean, you've got a little bit of road ahead of you on this, and yeah. Monday will just kind of determine how much treatment you get, right?
Yeah, well, Monday will be the surgery to remove everything. And, of course, when they start cutting back there, they'll have to get clear margins. So what they basically do is that once they find where the edge of the tumor is, they like to go some distance beyond that to make sure they have a clear margin of removal. And so they'll do that, and hopefully that part will go fairly uneventful. And then they'll also remove the lymph nodes. The lymph nodes take some testing because they got to look at it under a microscope and do all that kind of stuff. So it'll take a few days where we get the results back.
Yeah.
They do tell me my hairline in the back is going to change the angle a little bit because of the way they're going to have to cut the hair, you know, the back of the head. And again, I don't want to get too graphic because it does get a little graphic.
You were talking to me earlier, and I was like
well, when the plastic surgeon was telling me about all this, she, you know, and again, I don't want to tell you everything, but she said all this stuff, and she goes, "You got any questions?" And I said, "I got just one question." She goes, "What's that?" And I said, "Am I going to be awake for any of this?" And she says, "No." And I said, "Then I don't care. Just do whatever."
do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my wife is.
Yeah.
It's been
tripping out
for her, yes. And you know, so I've told Jim all this stuff. So all this is not new for him. But you know, at the dermatologist, when my wife came to I saw her on a Friday. My wife came the next Wednesday, and the dermatologist, you know, was talking to us and saying all these things. And they got a few things wrong. They tell me one thing, and they just to give you an example, the size of the tumor, they mixed up centimeters and millimeters. And I told her that is critical. You get those two right. They're not the same. When you're measuring a tumor, don't tell me millimeters if it's centimeters.
So it was centimeters. It was supposed to be centimeters, and they told you millimeters.
Yes, it is.
Not, yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's not multiple centimeters, but the measurement it ends.
Right.
They got it wrong by a factor of 10.
Right.
Jeez.
Yeah. So what they did is they misplaced the decimal when they went to the measurement. So you know.
Oh, you know. You haven't been using the decimal system for that long, have you?
You know, you get your psyche all set up on a certain thing, and then you get told something else. But the dermatologist told my wife and I, she said, "You need to start praying for a miracle." And my wife followed that up with, "So are you saying at this point we need a miracle?" And she just said, "I'm just saying that you should be praying for one." So, of course, my wife freaks out with that. And I tell her, look, until we had the lymph node thing, we don't know anything. But, you know, we're now down at Emory Hospital, which, you know, none of you guys live here in Atlanta, but Emory is the southeast premier
hospital.
Yeah, premier hospital. So it is the best place to have. So I had that discussion with my main doctor at Emory and told him, you know, my family and friends and I will deal with the praying. You deal with the science. And he said, don't worry about that. And, you know, the deal. So I actually like that dermatologist, even though she said that kind of stuff. I actually like her. She's been really nice about everything. And I think what the doctor at Emory kind of summed it up when he said, this is a case she'll probably only see once in her entire career, so she's freaking out a little bit about it. But I see these things every day. So, you know, in his
difference when you get to the pros,
right? In his mind, he's like, nah, you know. Yeah, this is not anything to play with. This is serious stuff, but you know, we know what we're doing.
Well, Mike, yeah. I've been most impressed, you know, is you and I have been talking about this about every other day probably since the announcement. I've been amazed at your you've taken a pretty positive approach to this, and yet we were just talking a little bit tonight. It's strange to think, you know, you've had with some long-term decisions. It's a little more difficult to kind of think, do I, especially around the podcast, right, that you do, it's kind of like, do I do this now, do I wait, because there's the treatment, you know, not to think morbid here, but the treatment could make it difficult for you, right, to continue on podcasting, at least in the short term.
Right, yeah, it does, it makes you think several things. One, yeah, you don't have your finances quite where you want them to be. I need to make a, so I've been working on a nice spreadsheet that has all the bills, you know, the website email addresses, all that kind of stuff. I had it in a way that worked for me, but I think, yeah, I need to put this in a way that works for my wife. And, you know, so, you know, we're all talking about backup and all that kind of stuff. I have it on my computer, on the Windows Home server, it's backed up to Crash Plan. But I started thinking, my, if anything happened to the Crash Plan, the computer that runs that, my wife would have no idea how to get that stuff. So I've actually put all this in a Google Doc, which then all she needs to have is my address, you know, my password and username. She can get into that from anywhere. So I started building all that in there. And, you know, regardless of what happens here, that's probably something I should have had in the first place. Because what this gives me the opportunity for is I can think and plan, even, you know, no matter what the results are, it's not going to happen tomorrow. Or, you know, you could die in a car accident driving home, and then you would have no time. But it does make you think that. And what you're talking about is it's very hard to think fast. As far as, you know, our show, JPEG to Raw, it sometimes takes weeks or longer to book a guest. And sometimes we're booking them, you know, 2 months in advance. That right now we have to put that on pause until we know more about what's happening with the, you know, treatment.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, the JPEG to Raw community has been very supportive. I hang out on that Facebook page, and while I'm not a photographer, they were really good to you when the news came. Very supportive. You know, it's crazy. You really kind of find out who your friends are in these kinds of circumstances. And folks just came out of the woodworks with well wishes and you know, prayers and support and all that kind of good stuff. And so that as well. And I wanted our folks, you know, you've been podcasting with us for a while, and I know it's been floating around a little bit. And I just wanted folks to be able to hear it from you. You've had great spirits. In fact, tonight, you and I, before the show, were cracking up a bunch of times about some really funny stuff. And that's good. That's a good part of the healing process, I think, as well, too, is just to be able to laugh about some of it. You and I have had those sessions. Hopefully you're getting that with others around you as well. At the end of the day, you know, the better. Oh, you were saying, you got to tell the story real quick. You're saying you just got a juicer. Your wife bought this juicer.
So, well, the other thing we're laughing about. So I can tell you the first one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, later next week, the end of next week, I either get really good news that it's not in lymph nodes, or I get, you know, news that we have to continue to fight. If I get really good news, what we're laughing about is that will be like the best day of my life ever. I'm going to be celebrating, and I'm going to have a heart attack from the celebration. And I'm going to be in the paper, man celebrates cancer-free, dies of heart attack.
That was really funny.
The other thing is, so the juicer you're talking about, my wife now is making me, and it's good. It's something I probably should use. But all healthy, and we got a juicer, our first juicer. So if everybody's already had one, this is not new to you, but new to me. And we got, she put two carrots in there with the green stem part and everything, an apple and a lemon with the peel. And when that spit all that stuff out, I said, "There's no way that's going to taste good." You first. And
did she hold her nose?
She took a sip of it and she said, "That's not bad." And then I drank it, and it actually was good. And that lemon, maybe it's because of the strong lemon peel part, whatever it was, it actually was good, and it was no pulp whatsoever in that liquid.
Yeah. Well, the things you do when health is on the line, you know, and you're right. We're probably all in a position to do better to take care of ourselves. You know, among the four of us here. We could all be doing. And it's sometimes situations like this that kind of change, you know, that radically change us and say, I probably could fill in the blank, right? Whatever that is.
I think, maybe it's more of a male thing that we ignore stuff. And maybe that, you know, we're never going to get most males to go to the doctor as much as women do. But maybe it's something for us to learn more about when we should go to the doctor. You know, what we can walk off, what we can't walk off.
Yeah. Well, and I've I did annual physicals all through my 30s, and I just got sick of hearing him say the same thing, you know, lose a little weight, lower your cholesterol, eat a little better. You know, it's just the same thing. I just kind of quit going, and I should probably go get a physical.
Well, you know, melanoma is no joke. It's I've been doing a lot of reading, and internet is not always the best thing whenever you get cancer. You got to watch how you do your searches, because you can you can find a life expectancy thing where you put it all in your facts and it tells you how many months you got left, that kind of thing. And it's, whoa, that's a little scary. You know, so you got to watch what you're looking at, because you don't know how accurate that stuff is and where to get the data.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Well, hey, it's okay. It's late here. It's late there. We've all been podcasting for a while tonight, so I'm gonna use this as a good opportunity to wrap it up. Mike, thanks for taking a second to jump on with us and just give us an update. Well, of course, if it's okay with you, I'd like to tag this on to the end of the podcast as it goes out, so folks have an update. So we'll do that, and appreciate that. And then, of course, you know, we'll follow you through this, and we really want to see you at the meetup. So we're hoping for the best, so you don't have to have any crappy treatment, because we want to see you. We're gonna be selfish. We want to see you up in Indianapolis on September 21st for the meetup. So that'll be a good time there. So
yeah, I hope
Mike. Go ahead.
No, I just say I hope I can make it.
Yeah, yeah. We do too. So, well, I'm going to use this to for everybody to jump off. So, Michael Martis, thanks for coming in, and
thank you
for tonight. Great to see you again, and Andrew,
good
great
to see you, Mike.
Great to see you as well, Mike. Thanks for jumping in.
Yeah, no problems at all.
All right,
great
guys.
To see you, Mike.
Yep.